Hey, it's Mike Halford from the Halford and Bruff podcast. One, thanks for downloading. Two, thanks for listening. Three, why not leave a review while you listen to the podcast? And now, back to the show. Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Monday. It is Halford, it is Bruff, it is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studio in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
Oh, I'm good.
Laddie?
I'm fine.
Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilari family of Acura dealers. Just hold on. Let's not even, we got to do this right off the hop because this is one of the most profound and busiest days in Canucks franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the crack staff right here at Sportsnet 650. By that, I mean Joey Kenward. This is the stat that really caught my eye. This is just the second time in the 50-plus year franchise history that the Vancouver Canucks have done a dismissal of this nature, this big, this profound. One other time, back in 1985, did they get rid of the general manager and the head coach on the same day. And now today, of course, if you're joining us right now, you know that head coach Travis Green, general manager Jim Benning, assistant general manager John Weisbrod, and assistant coach Nolan Baumgartner, all relieved of their duties of the Vancouver Canucks.
And I think today is just going to be a lot of reaction to that. Reading your texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line, there's a lot of them already. And really preparing you for the big press conference at 3:30. Stan Smeal, the interim general manager, and the owner, Francesco Aquilini, will take questions. This is the first time the owner has taken questions from the media, and I'm talking about the entire unwashed media, not just Sportsnet 650, but from the media since Trevor Linden was introduced as president of hockey ops. And doesn't that seem like 6,000 years ago when Trevor Linden was introduced as the president of hockey ops?
So for those of you that are getting in your cars right now that maybe heard about the news but were wondering whether or not it was official or not yet, it is. At 10:30 last night, a late press release sent out confirming that the aforementioned four are on their way out. Bruce Boudreau is in as the new Canucks head coach. There is a million things that we need to get into. A lot of questions that we're going to try and answer. I'm sure you want to hear our thoughts on the matter. We'll also relay some of your thoughts as you text them in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 now.
And of course, F1 is down to one race.
Leeds United with a scintillating 2-2 draw on the weekend.
The Grey Cup is set.
It was funny. When we sent around the notes Sunday morning, when it was calm and nothing was abound, we were obviously going to talk Canucks because of the terrible performance on Saturday against the Penguins, the jersey throwing in the chance. But we had a very F1-heavy show. Because we were thinking, if we come in on Monday and everything's still the same, maybe we can stretch our legs a little bit and get into Formula One. We might not do that
today. We'll save that for tomorrow.
But who knows? Maybe if we get bored. Okay, business at hand. Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilari difference today by visiting your nearest Dilari Acura dealer today. We are also brought to you by shopintercity.ca, shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse, quality meals delivered to your doorstep. Anywhere in Greater Vancouver, use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout.
Our poll question today. How are you feeling today, Canucks fans?
The loon.
We're giving you three options plus our standard other please reply. Are you feeling relieved that moves have actually been made? Are you feeling hopeful for the future? Or are you feeling sad? Maybe you didn't think Jim Benning and Travis Green and John Weisbrod and Nolan Baumgartner deserved to be fired, or you're just sad for them. You're sad for the entire situation. 60% of you, far and away the leader of the poll question so far after 300 votes already, are relieved. 31% of you are hopeful. Just 7% are sad, and just a handful of you have some other sort of emotion going through your minds, through your bodies on this morning. I felt relief that something was done, but there is still concern because the future still looks murky. Jim Benning and John Weisbrod are out on the management side. Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner out on the coaching side. Now, Bruce Boudreau has been hired as the head coach. And we'll certainly talk a lot about Bruce Boudreau today and whether or not his biggest job is to rescue Elias Pettersson and to a certain degree Brock Besser as well. I think probably is. But Bruce Boudreau is 66 years old. I don't know how many more years of coaching he's got. I don't know if he's a bridge coach or a long-term hire. I certainly know one thing. The full-time GM did not hire Bruce Boudreau because the Canucks don't have a full-time general manager. By all accounts, Bruce Boudreau was an ownership hire. So is Bruce Boudreau the long-term head coach for the Vancouver Canucks? Who will be the next general manager? Will there be a president on top of that general manager? There is still so much to determine, and those are the questions that Francesco Aquilini, the owner, is going to face this morning. This afternoon at 3:30. Again, the press conference is at 3:30, and then I believe sometime after 4.
4:15 is when Boudreau is scheduled to speak right now. However, there is the possibility that he may address the media earlier because the Canucks have a game tonight. In case
he's
got to
set the lines.
Yeah, he's got to do stuff. He may.
What is the lotto line?
Yeah, who are you? Which one are you? You play defense?
This is my defense.
This is what I got to work with. So there is a chance that after, say, the morning skate, we could hear from Bruce Boudreau. By the way, it's going to be very difficult to say his name because I always call him Bruce Boudreau.
Everyone else manages to say Bruce Boudreau.
Boose.
Call him Gabby. That's his nickname.
That is his nickname. I'm not going to do that. Okay. I don't feel like we're at that level yet.
People were calling Bo Horvat Bor Hovat for a while. You'll be just fine.
I've done that. The old Irish tongue gets me some Bor Horvat all the time. Okay, what's coming up on the program today? Obviously, there's going to be a ton of Canucks talk. We landed the get of the century, Elliot Friedman, which is actually a tough one given all. He's done about 5 stand-ups already on this. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, is going to join us at 6:30. So we'll ask, what's the long-term outlook? Is there even a long-term outlook for Bruce Boudreau? See, there
wow.
it is. Just, I told you. Well, it's in my head now.
Okay, yeah.
Now I've just jinxed myself. Also, what is going to be the plan in the front office? Because, again, right now, reports suggest that it's going to be this weird 5-headed collaboration, which is including Chris Gear, one of the remaining assistant general managers, because John Weisbrod is out, obviously. Ryan Johnson, who apparently is going to get the bump up from the chair in Abbotsford to become an interim assistant general manager with the Canucks.
I've never heard of an interim assistant general manager.
It's a mouthful. It's not Bruce Boudreau, but it's close. Daniel and Henrik Sedin and Stan Smeal.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Smeal, of course, is going to meet with the media today as well. So we'll talk to Elliot about that, what the plan is moving forward, how everything yesterday unfolded, and the timeline. How long have they been talking to Bruce Boudreau for?
Yeah. How long has that been in the works? Kevin from Coquitlam, for the poll question, I am feeling nervous because based on this ownership group's track record, I do not have faith in a patient rebuilding or retooling approach. It actually said rooting approach, but I think that's probably retooling.
Probably.
I feel like Francesco will try to rush this once again because it's already been an 8-year rebuild. One of the questions for ownership today will be, how much change do you think is needed for this roster? And also, are you the right guy to answer this question?
It's a great, great moment coming up later this afternoon, because all the questions that we've had for, quite frankly, 8 years can finally be asked of the guy in charge. And I think most importantly, will he go down the same road that his counterpart in Montreal, Jeff Molson, went down when he announced what they were doing moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not scared of the word rebuild. If my hire, Jeff Gorton, comes in and decides that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. We need a fresh start. All of the audio that you heard a week ago, we very well could hear the exact same thing coming out of the owner's mouth today. Francesco Aquilini again at 3:30 our time. So we've got Elliot Friedman coming up on the show at 6:30. Brendan Batchelor at 8. We'll talk to Batch about, well, there is a game tonight. Let's not forget that. Los Angeles Kings, 7 o'clock puck drop. But it's going to be pregame all day here on the Halford and Brough Show and then throughout Sportsnet 650. Batch at 8, Friedge at 6:30. We've got Mike Tannier coming up on the show as well. We'll talk some NFL with him, but it's going to be Canucks heavy all day. Let's go now as we do our own unique version of what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it? You missed that?
What happened?
So again, as per a press release that went out at 10:30, if you're just getting in your cars right now and you don't know all the official details, out for the Vancouver Canucks are general manager Jim Benning, assistant general manager John Weisbrod, head coach Travis Green, and assistant coach Nolan Baumgartner. We mentioned that there's going to be a collaborative approach in terms of the interim GM status, all the names that I mentioned earlier. Bruce Boudreau in as head coach. Reports also suggest that Scott Walker will be in as the assistant head coach. He has ties to Boudreau. He played under Boudreau. They were supposed to be the coaching staff that was going to take Team Canada at the upcoming Spengler Cup. So there's a lot of history there. And Walker, of course, a former Vancouver Canuck who worked on the player development side as recently as 3 years ago. There, I've laid it all out.
I want to read a bunch of texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line because this is about you, the listeners, and the Canucks fans. Gary the fake chiropractor. Aren't they all fake? Jim was never the guy to take this team to the next level. He was a decent drafter. That's about it. The next GM needs to be a leader that instills confidence in the organization. Yeah, we talked about this on, I believe it was Friday. We had a big segment on what the next leadership group needs to bring. The Canucks need, they need to look at their culture right now, because this is a very miserable looking group of hockey players. You hear more and more that the people in the organization are feeling a little bit down. And losing will do that, right? Everyone wants to be part of a winning organization. Everyone wants to be part of a successful organization. In the really good times, you're part of something special. And the Canucks have not been something special for a few years now. Jim Benning, if you look back at his tenure here, there is nothing you can say except that overall, he failed to deliver. He failed. He is going to leave the Canucks with some good young pieces, but he is not going to leave the Canucks with a good team. And he is going to leave the Canucks with a lot of work to be done and a lot of change to be done, because right now, this team that we've seen is bad. And he has been on the job for 8 years. He's had a lot of resources in terms of financial resources. Yes, those resources were cut off for 1 year last season. But this has been a team that has basically spent to the cap. And frankly, that's been one of the problems, because a lot of their issues have been self-inflicted. They have been bad contracts that have been signed, and people have said, that's a bad contract. And then there's the whole, well, wait and see. And then we do wait and see, and what do you know? Bad contracts. You can, with a hard salary cap where you can't easily cut players, you can inflict a lot of damage on yourself, and that's what the Canucks have done. The next general manager or president of hockey ops has to be better at asset management. It's a tired thing to say, and I know a lot of people's eyes roll when you hear the phrase asset management, but that's because there's a reason for it. The Canucks have not done a good enough job, and they have not built a good enough roster this season. There are problems with this roster. Bruce Boudreau, I'll say his name from now on.
Thank you.
Bruce Boudreau is the new head coach, and we all know Boudreau's history. He has been a very, very, very successful head coach during the regular season.
13 regular seasons, never a losing record.
One of the most successful head coaches in NHL history when it comes to the regular season. But his struggles in the playoffs started with the Washington Capitals, where he started his NHL head coaching career. He was the head coach when the Washington Capitals famously lost or you might say choked against the Montreal Canadiens in 2010.
They got halak.
When Yaro Halak. Yeah, Boudreau can come in and be like, hey, Yaro.
I remember you.
I hate you. and it kind of continued through Anaheim and Minnesota. Now, he did take Anaheim to the conference final. I believe that was in 2015, that spectacular series with the Chicago Blackhawks, who went on to win the Stanley Cup. But overall, Boudreau is known for, and get used to this phrase, up-tempo hockey, offensive hockey, and it makes sense that he is the hire for this team because they need to become that team. They need to become a team that plays offensive hockey because that's where their strengths are. Their strengths, on paper at least, are with their young players like Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser and JT Miller and Quinn Hughes. These are guys that are offensive players, and they have not looked like it. They have looked like shelves of themselves, especially Pettersson and Besser. And I'll be curious to see what approach Boudreau takes with Pettersson and Besser. Because these whispers were out there. I do believe that Pettersson and Besser had issues with Travis Green. Let's just put it that way. They need a new voice.
On that note, can we get the audio from Elliot Friedman? We did an emergency show last night here on Sportsnet 650. Bick and Sat and all the guys ran you through it. And Elliot Friedman graciously came on last night. He'll be on again with us in about 13 minutes' time. This is Elliot on one of the stated goals for Bruce Boudreau is to get Elias Pettersson going. Do we have that audio? Good. Laddie, let's play it now.
But if you're a talented offensive player under Boudreau, you get opportunities. And what's the number one thing that the Canucks are dealing with right now, guys? It's Pettersson. You know, he can't get going, and it's never one player's fault, but what it does do is it hurts their offense badly. And you guys look, like, plays that he normally makes, he's not making. And we had a conversation last night on the show about Pettersson's ice time and the balance between a coach saying a player doesn't deserve ice time and he's our franchise cornerstone and we have to find a way for him to play. And I think that I would not surprise me if when we hear from Boudreau or from whoever hired him, that's something they talk about. Bruce Boudreau is here to get Pettersson going.
And that was one of the things that jumped out right away yesterday, is because on the surface, you look at it and you say, well, it does seem kind of strange that a coach with this profile and his history, granted he wanted to get back in the game, but took a 2-year contract knowing that the guy that hired him is not going to be that guy in the not-too-distant future. There's going to be a new president of hockey ops or general manager coming in. And again, we've all covered the NHL long enough to know that when someone comes in, they often want to hire their guys or bring their guys in. They want to do those kind of staffing moves. But there is another wrinkle to this, and you kind of crystallized it quite well on Twitter, that there's the coaching long-term. But in the immediacy, it's probably accurate that they're not going to save this season unless there's a historic turnaround.
If they are, congratulations to Bruce Boudreau for winning Coach of the Year.
Now, I will say this. When Boudreau took over in Washington, this is a long time ago. This is 2007-08. The Capitals record at the time of him taking over, I believe it was for Glenn Hanlon, was 6-14-1. So a little bit earlier in the season as to when he's taking over the Canucks, but it was a bad team record-wise. They turned it around. They made the playoffs. I don't envision that scenario playing out. But that was also the year where Ovechkin had, I believe, like 65 goals and 123 points.
It's actually a somewhat similar situation that first season. So he went from the AHL, where he was the head coach of the Hershey Bears, and he'd had quite a bit of success. I think he won a championship, and the following season he lost in the finals. He took over a Washington Capitals team in 2007-08, where Ovechkin was 21, Backstrom was 19, Mike Green, remember him, the offensive defenseman who's kind of similar to Quinn Hughes, was just 21. And other young players like Alex Semin, I think, was just 23 years old. So he has seen this situation before. it is comparable in that you've got these good young pieces, but it's not working right now. And I didn't know, yeah, Glenn Hallen was 6-14-1.
They were terrible when he took
pretty
over.
Pretty similar records. And then Boudreaux went 37-17-0-7. It was the old school records. But
that's right.
Again, the expectations aren't for this. I do wonder, like, I don't think this is the perfect scenario in that, and you mentioned this already, the head coach is getting hired first.
Yep.
And that is a potential problem. And if I were a general manager that was interviewing, I would want to know that I had the final call on the head coach. Like, you're coming in and saying, listen, well, what if I don't want Bruce as my head coach, right?
Yeah.
Do I have the power to, like, fire him right now? That's kind of a problem for later,
yeah,
that we can delve into later, because Bruce Boudreaux is the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Francesco's going to get that question today, right?
And I hope he responds with something along the lines of, Bruce is here to get some guys going, to change our style of play, but also have a fresh set of eyes on what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Boudreaux is coming in with not many preconceived notions other than what he's watched on television or heard in the media. He hasn't been around this franchise at all. He's got no history with anyone, really, aside from the assistant coach, Scott Walker, that he's bringing in. So that's two sets of relatively new eyes on this whole thing to hopefully and unbiasedly say, this is what's going right and this is what's going on wrong and needs to change. The remainder of this season is about two things: getting Pettersson and Besser and some other guys on track, but also diagnosing what's wrong so that when the new guy comes in to either overhaul the roster entirely or retool, he's got a lot of information at his disposal. I think that's what the goal should be right now.
We got a text in. It's really a one-year contract because we all know next year the quote-unquote lame duck comments will be in full effect. Yeah, it will. Especially if there's a new general manager. I think the new general manager or president or whoever's in charge, let's say the leader of the hockey ops,
yeah,
will come in and make a decision on the head coach. I am curious. I think it's worthwhile to bring Bruce Boudreaux in.
Yeah.
He has had success with a lot of teams. I remember when he took over in Minnesota, I thought, why would he take that job? That team does not have enough there for him to be successful. He'd already been successful in Washington and Anaheim. He had talent there. I didn't think he had the talent in Minnesota. And I was like, oh my God, he must be desperate if he's taking the Wild job. And then he did a really good job there.
Yep. He's done a really good job everywhere. You can't quibble with anything that he's done in the regular season. Why even bother talking about the playoffs, quite frankly? Like,
yeah,
his playoff record does not matter at this stage of the game. Also, and I will throw this out there because I threw it out there before, the Canucks probably had some leverage in this situation because Bruce Boudreaux really wanted to get back into coaching.
And he's 66 years old.
I mean, it's not like he had a ton of things on his side. There have been other head coaching jobs that have come up while he's been unemployed, and he has not got them. This was, in some ways, a marriage of convenience for both parties because the Canucks had to make a change. Saturday night was a breaking point in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to go down the road too much about the significance of jerseys being thrown on the ice or fans chanting in the stands. I think those conversations have been well explored and well documented. We don't need to add anything more to those because there's other things to look at. But they reached the team and the organization reached a breaking point on Saturday where it was like, we can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep trotting out the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why, actually, for the poll question, I wanted to vote sad leaf, which is sad and relief,
right,
at the same time. Because, and I'm not talking about sad as in, like, people lost their jobs. That is sad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to undersell that. But it's sad because while a lot of people saw all these moves overnight as a breath of fresh air and new exciting changes, it's also an acknowledgement that your season has gone horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You don't fire.
And it's only what?
25 games.
Yeah.
Into a season when the owner came on this station and said that the playoffs are the goal and it will be a disappointment. Four people got gassed yesterday. And that is a major overhaul. Again, I go back. The only other time that the Canucks have done this in franchise history, fired the coach and general manager at the same time, was in 1985 when Harry Neal had both jobs. Both jobs. So you're talking about a massive, massive overhaul. Yes, it's fresh and new and exciting because you're basically starting from point zero, ground zero. But it's also an acknowledgement that things were so bad that you had to have such a thorough house cleaning.
Elliot Friedman is coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We're going to go out with some audio from Bruce Boudreau, the new head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, who was on this station, what, just a week ago? Around there? What, campaigning for the job almost? He was asked whether or not he would like to coach in Canada.
Bruce, you might not have had those discussions, but they're happening here in Vancouver amongst the fan base. So I got to ask you the question, is the Canucks situation a desirable one from a coaching perspective?
Hey, listen, like I said earlier, I'm a Canadian. Never coached in Canada. Would be thrilled at the opportunity, but and you know, Vancouver is a great city. Great, I think they got great fans. It's I don't think anybody would not love that opportunity. But I would love for Travis Green to stay there and turn the team around and them have success, because I think the Canucks have come very close in the past. It'd be great to see them hoist the cup someday.
Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Today might be a good day to get some servicing done, maybe some snow tires, perhaps. How was everybody's drive-in? Were we okay? Weren't okay? It wasn't overwhelming amounts of snow. Still a little challenging. You guys had to come in from a distance.
It's Vancouver. 1 millimeter is often overwhelming.
Dom was panicking yesterday. We got texts pre-snowfall.
I was just trying to make sure everyone was prepared for whatever.
As I said in the text, it was like talking about snow with my mother.
And I'm okay with that.
We are also brought to you by shopintercity.ca, shopintercity.ca. Order now. Get your holiday meal orders in now. Use promo code Sportsnet20 for $20 off at checkout. News of the day, major overhaul for the Vancouver Canucks. Joining us now to break it all down, Sportsnet's NHL insider, Elliot Friedman, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Friege. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I avoided you as long as I could, but I couldn't avoid you today.
Okay, first off, thank you for doing this, and thank you for coming on the station last night as well. It was a interestingly timed event. We didn't get the official release of the dismissals until 10:30 last night, so a lot of people parsing.
Well, I honestly, on that one, Mike, I think they wanted to do it today.
Okay.
That's what I think happened. I think it sounds to me like it got out faster than they kind of were hoping.
It certainly felt like that, at least on how things
were. You ruined their Sunday.
How things were progressing on social media. On that note, though, can you walk our listeners through the timeline, how things proceeded, how things unfolded? How long have they been speaking to Bruce Boudreau for? Basically, the chronology of Saturday and the very, very public unrest, I would say, with the result from the Penguins game leading into Sunday, and then, of course, where we are at 6:33 on Monday morning.
Sure. I mean, there's still some holes there, guys, so I'll give you the best that I can give you. Let's go back to that weekend where they lost on the Saturday night in Vegas and the Sunday night in Anaheim. And the next day, ownership met. And the day after that, they met with Jim Benning amidst a lot of rumors that changes were going to be happening. And as you guys all know now, and the Canucks all know now, there was a real hope that this was going to be a year where the Canucks were going to challenge at the very least for a playoff berth and hopefully Vegas for the top of the Pacific Division. And no matter what anybody thinks about that outside, internally, that was the hope and the expectation. And obviously it didn't start that way and it's not going that way. And I think everybody internally was surprised and disappointed that it didn't. So from that point on, we know that ownership is sitting here saying, okay, this isn't going where we wanted. We're really disappointed. We're really upset. And we have to start thinking about, if we're going to make changes, what are we going to do? And from that point on, I think they've been throwing out ideas, considering candidates, vetting, saying, if we want this person, do they make sense? Who do we like? Who do we not like? The idea of replacing Travis Green with Claude Julien and or Scott Walker was broached, and it was decided not to do it in either one of those particular cases. But the one thing we knew was that they were starting to look at people. And the other thing, and I've been all over this, that the best signal I was getting about what they were going to do is no long-term commitment without serious consideration and no rushing into anything that was a long-term commitment in terms of a hiring or a trade. They weren't going to do it. They were going to slow it down, and they were going to make sure they took their time vetting people. Look, I think it just changed in the last few days. I know there was the victory in Montreal. I know there was the victory in Ottawa, but it wasn't getting better. I don't have a clear timeline on Boudreau exactly, but I don't think this is something that just happened yesterday. I think he's someone they've been considering and vetting. I think especially over the last, I would say, I don't know if I would say week, guys. I would probably say last 3 to 4 days, although I could be a little bit off on that timeline. And what I think, why I think Boudreau was a guy who was on their radar is, you know, Pettersson's struggling, Besser's struggling, and I don't think you can blame Green for taking a hard line with it to some point. Like, we had this conversation on Saturday night. Players know who deserves ice time. And if a coach thinks a player is struggling, it is the coach's right to say, you know what, your ice time's going down. I just think that the organization looks at it from the bigger point of view, which is we have to get this guy going. And I have no doubt in my mind that one of the reasons Boudreau was on their radar was because offensive players tend to do well under him. You get opportunities, you get ice time. He puts you in position where you're going to carry the mail. And I absolutely think the number one thing that he's going to have on him to do is get those two guys going, Pettersson especially. And so that, and then I just think what happened on Saturday, they just said, we have to do something. The booing, the thrown jersey, the chanting. But I think it more importantly, like, all that stuff matters, but more importantly was the way they played. And I don't know if you watched the show at the end of the game, but watching Kelly and Kevin watch the end of that game where the buzzer goes and the look on Green's face and the players just not knowing what to do. Like, they just sat there before getting up and leaving. Like, watching Kelly and Kevin, that's when a team is kind of done, they're beaten. And I just think they said, we have to do something right now.
Freej, I 100% agree with you on Boudreau and why Boudreau. Pettersson, not only is he important to the team's success on the ice, he's a massive asset. And asset management has been an issue for the Canucks, so they need to salvage those assets. I guess my question is, how big a deal is it that they've hired a head coach before they've hired a general manager or a president of hockey ops?
I know why people ask that question, Jason. To me, look at the term. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes I think, and I'm as guilty of it as everybody else is, I think you sit there and you say, well, this is stupid. Why'd you hire the coach first? And sometimes you got to think a bit deeper. And I look at the term, which is this year and next, and I don't see that as being prohibitive. You know, who knows? If they go outside for their hockey person, the person can come in and they can say, Bruce Boudreau gets a test drive. He's the incumbent. Okay. He gets the test drive. He has the advantage of being in the chair right now to show that he can turn this around. Okay. But if you go bring in someone else, that person also knows, yes, Bruce Boudreau's in the driver's seat, but it's not necessarily a long-term marriage because the term isn't that great. So if I'm Boudreau, I look at this as a win because I'm here and I get the chance to make this work. And I guarantee to you that's the way I'm thinking about it. But I think that what they've done here from an organizational point of view is they said, yes, there's a new coach here, but it's not like it's a 5-year deal.
Right.
And I think that that's the way you have to look at it.
What is the key to Boudreau's success during the regular season?
You know, I think that, you know, for one thing, I think he's a really driven guy. I mean, one of the funniest things he ever told me was I once asked him, you know, what as a coach he would think of himself as a player. And he laughed. He says, I would have hated myself because I was the laziest guy around. You know, I think that one of the things he really tries to do is he tries to make it so that, you know, he says hi to everybody every day. Like, he's not always this touchy-feely guy. He can be a very funny, nice person, but he's not always touchy-feely. He's a coach, right? Like, sometimes he's got to be hard on you. Sometimes he can be sarcastic. But generally, like, he used to have a rule. Every time you see someone, you try to say hi to everyone every day. He tries to put people in position to succeed. And also, he likes to play offense. And, you know, that's a lot. What do you like doing better, play offense or play defense? Everybody likes to play offense more. So he really works at that, trying to create a good environment, you know, trying to put people in positions where they can be successful, try to put people in positions where, you know, they're in good moods about playing. And, you know, the thing that you're going through right now is losing sucks. And you can see it, and you hate it. And one thing he tries to do is at least brighten the mood a little bit. And I think between all of those things, emphasis on attacking, trying to create a better environment, I think that's worked for him. And also, offensive players, they get to play offense and score with him. And in the regular season in particular, that really works.
Elliot, what names are you hearing in terms of the general manager, president of hockey ops? Is George McPhee one of them?
You know, I someone said to me George McPhee last night, and I mean, I hadn't heard that. I mean, I just don't know why. I mean, one thing I've learned over the years is anything can happen. I would just be surprised because I don't know why he would leave where he is for Vancouver. And I'm not trying to crap on Vancouver that, but he's got an unbelievably good job and they could win a Stanley Cup this year. The timing of that one doesn't, I mean, I'm going to look into it, mm-hmm. but the timing of that one doesn't make sense to me. Like I'll tell you this. I think they're doing their due diligence on, Bergevin and Mallenby. I think they're doing their due diligence on people like Jim Rutherford. I think they're going to do their due diligence. Like, the other thing is, who knows who's going to be available? That's the other thing too. Wait and see, you know, who's going to be out there. You know, I saw the John Chayka report last night. That's a tough one because he's, you know, nobody can talk to him until January 1st. So I hadn't heard that one before. But basically what I was told is name someone, they're doing their due diligence on that person. Like, they are looking at every possible option. And that's why it might take, you know, a little bit of time. The McPhee one is just strange to me because he's the president of hockey operations in Vegas on a team that could win the Stanley Cup this year. His whole life, that's what he's wanted to accomplish. The timing just seems really weird for me on that one.
What about the possibilities of promoting from within? Because Ryan Johnson is going to move up it's a mouthful, the title, Interim Assistant General Manager. Now, actually, one of the few good...
That is not a broadcast-friendly title, yes.
I can barely say Bruce Boudreau without calling him Boos. So, yeah, I'm working on it.
The old IAGM.
I have to tell you that, actually, I'm glad you mentioned him because I mentioned it on the podcast this morning. And I think I said it last night, too.
Okay.
People have told me before, Ryan Johnson's going to be a GM in this league if he wants to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a lot of respect. There's a lot of people out there who really like him. And I don't know, you know, how the organization feels about whether or not he's ready for that now. And I don't know how he feels about that. But I will tell you that he's got a lot of respect. He had it as a player, as a teammate. You know, I've heard that he works really hard. You know, I've had people tell me that when you're doing lists of people who will be GMs someday, you better have him on that list. So, we talked about, Boudreau is obviously a bit more of a known entity in terms of that job and the advantage of being the incumbent. I mean, Johnson's going to have at least the advantage of being in the chair a little bit. And although he's going to have a lot of help, I do know his reputation's really good.
You know, it's funny because back in when we were writing for The Athletic, we had to write a lot of stories that were not about the on-ice product because, quite frankly, it wasn't very good. So one of the ones that I had is I actually talked to Trevor Linden, of all people, about Ryan Johnson, and that was one of the first things that he said. He had all the markings of a guy who's going to be a general manager in the NHL. The fear, I think, when a lot of people hear it is they don't want the Canucks to go back down the road of hiring a general manager that has no experience doing the job, because that, of course, was the holy triumvirate with Linden didn't have any experience, Benning didn't have any experience, and then Willie Desjardins, when he was hired, didn't have any experience at those jobs. And people don't want to necessarily go down that road again. But if you've got a really good candidate internally and he does have that kind of respect, maybe they do go back down that road.
You know, honestly, Mike, to me, it's not about the person necessarily. It's about the person you put there. But it's also about what kind of structure are you creating around them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's, you know, as I get older and I'm closer to the end of my career than the beginning, like, you look at how the workforce is changing, right? You look how the office environment is changing. And, you know, the next generation of workers or people climbing their way up the corporate ladder are different than my era.
Okay.
So you have to adjust to that. And also, these are, you know, multi-million dollar, billion dollar businesses. They have to be run a certain way. And look, I think that, you know, like, you can, Ryan Johnson, from what I understand, he can do this job providing, like, the number one thing you have to be right now is a communicator.
Yep.
You have to be able to communicate your vision to your owners, to your staff, the people around you, your players, the fans, the media. Can you say, this is our goal as an organization, and this is how we're going to get there, to your scouts, to a way that everybody can do what their role is to do to get you there? And if you can do that, then you can be, as long as you surrender, like, I'm looking at this collective that they're apparently going to announce today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of experience around them. But if you want to say, okay, let's just say, for argument's sake, that they do this. Ryan Johnson's going to stay as our permanent GM, but we're bringing in like a president of hockey ops to train him, or we're bringing in some more infrastructure around him. I don't see, if you think he's the right guy, then just surround him with people to fill in those spots that he might need. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't want anyone to say I'm saying that that's the plan, because I don't know that.
Sure.
But I think to say that the guy's inexperienced, we're not going to do it, to me, that's dumb. If you think he's the right person, find the right people to fill in the holes around him.
Elliot, Francesco Aquilini will have a press conference along with Stan Smeal today at 3:30 Vancouver time. If you were to get one question for the owner, what would it be?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, you know, right in the middle of dinner, like, how do you expect me to pay attention? that's a good question. I would... I think that the question I would probably ask, I would love to know, like, why they thought that this year was going to be the year, and why he thinks it didn't work.
That's a good question.
Because you know that, look, a couple of years ago, they had a choice, right? They had the Linden route or they had the Benning route, right? And they chose the Benning route. And obviously they were being given information that they were building towards this. And obviously they were told in the offseason, this was the year to go for it and this was the year to do it. So I'd like to know more about that process and why they felt in the end it didn't go the way that they hoped.
Right. I mean, the other part of that is could be that maybe they weren't told that this is the year to get after it. Maybe they were the ones doing the telling. Like, there is the sense that someone at the higher echelons of this organization felt like now was the time to get out and get after it. I think the real question would be, was that management or was that ownership? And I think it's a legitimate question because everyone looked at this roster going into the season and thought, okay, they've made improvements on paper, but we have no idea how it's going to play out because there were a lot of great unknowns. And now that it's played out, it's way worse than everyone thought it was going to be. That's the shocking part to me, is that we're 25 games in and it is so significantly worse than how everyone thought it was going
to
be.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mike. Yeah, we're going to let Elliot go because he's got some more work to do today.
Yeah, I'm getting notes about Vigneault, so okay. I'm working on it now.
All right, Freach.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Freach. Appreciate
it. Guys. Take care.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Elliot, of course, a presentation of Grip Auto and Tire.
Need those today.
Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust. 14 locations to serve you better. You may need one of the 14 today because it's snowing outside.
According to Frank Saravelli, the Flyers are making a coaching change. Alain Vigneault has been fired. It was actually going to be one of my what we learned. And in the notes, man, this is a pretty callous way to put this. What we learned, AV might be next. Yeah, the Flyers are not in a good way right now. They lost 7-1 to the Lightning. Was that their eighth straight loss?
Yes.
And AV actually, I don't know if we clipped the audio of this, but AV went up and said, basically, you know, I'm the guy with my hands on the wheel. Mm-hmm. It's my responsibility. And right now the team isn't winning. The Flyers are in a bad way. We will continue, however, the Canucks conversation for essentially the rest of the show. We are going to take, warning, we are going to take a quick NFL detour. We talked to Mike Tanier every week on the Halford and Brough Show. So we'll get into the Seahawks win, the Detroit Lions won. How does Mike Zimmer still have a job, by the way?
It is still early on Monday. So
the Minnesota Vikings, yeah. That team constantly chokes. My lock of the week, once again, did not pan out. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought they were going to do it
at
one
point.
No, it was perfect for the Bengals and the Chargers because they are so inconsistent. And they were both inconsistent within the same game against each other. So that one panned out. We've got the Patriots and the Bills tonight. So we will take, again, a quick detour to the NFL. And then we'll be back. Brendan Batchelor will join us at 8 o'clock. I want to talk to Batch about that game on Saturday and what it was like in Rogers Arena. And we will, of course, be reading all your texts. Well, most of them. Well, 3% of them.
Yeah.
Into the Dunbar Lumber text line. If you have any opinions on what's going on with the Canucks, and a lot is going on with the Canucks, text it in to 650-650. The official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough is ZLC Financial. It's your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
Look, I have never seen a bunch of guys look so
hoping
down when something bad happens. What are you guys, like prima donna perfect that if you can't handle adversity, So Pope's not going right. It's not fucking working the last 10 days. Get your heads out of your ass and fucking make it work by outworking the opposition. You kill two fucking men, and then we stand around and watch it while they score here. It's come to the bench like this, and when the power play, it's not working, so you're trying to stick handle. You're looking like this and not standing. Outwork the fucking guys. If you want it, don't just think you want it. Go out and and want it. But you're not looking like you want it. You look like you're feeling sorry for yourselves. And nobody much anybody that's feeling sorry for themselves. You got 20 minutes, you're down by one shot. Surely we can deal with this. Oh boy.